Eliminating the ISIS terror group has the potential to save many lives around the world. It can also help save valuable artifacts of human history and culture. The State Department has an ongoing effort on that front. It's a month into a special project working with the Smithsonian to protect and preserve precious objects from the ancient world. Joining me with more, Mark Taplin, Acting Assistant Secretary for Educational and Cultural Affairs, and Andrew Cohen, Senior Cultural Property Analyst. Gentlemen, good to have you both on.
Great to be with you.
Thank you.
Let's start, Mark, and tell us what it is that each side, that is state and the Smithsonian, brings to this effort.
Yeah, we think that we have a very complementary role in this emergency project. It's based on some longstanding work that we've been doing together. We have a longstanding role in terms of the protection and preservation of cultural heritage, and we have the lead for that at the Department of State and also in the interagency here in Washington. But we've been involved in this for quite a long time. Our Cultural Heritage Center, Andrew, is one of our senior cultural property analysts and specialists in our Cultural Heritage Center. We've been involved in these kinds of challenges for quite a while, and we administer cultural property agreements with countries that are at risk or experiencing trafficking of their cultural patrimony to the U.S., and those agreements impose import restrictions that block the flow of antiquities into the United States. We also work then closely with those partner governments to help them strengthen their protections. We've made Iraq quite a focus for our efforts over the years. We do a lot of training and capacity building, both for U.S. law enforcement so they can enforce these rules here, but also with our foreign partners.
Sure.
The International Council of Museums, we work very closely with them on the production of emergency red lists, which are a real important information source for customs authorities. And we've done some for Iraq and for Syria over the years. That's a big part of our effort in terms of both helping customs authorities look for smuggled and trafficked antiquities, as well as for raising public awareness. We're tapping that same fund, the Cultural Antiquities Task Force, for our part of the NIMRID Emergency Stabilization Conservation Project. So I think working with the Smithsonian specifically, we've done a lot of training over the years here for U.S. Customs and Law Enforcement. We work with ICE. That's another of important line of activity we've had with the Smithsonian. And then also in Iraq specifically, we have been supporting an effort to help the Iraqi Institute for Conservation of Antiquities and Heritage, which is located in Erbil, not so far away from Nimrud, to build capacity, to train their specialists. That's been going on for a number of years. The University of Delaware also was involved quite deeply in that. And it's kind of become a center of excellence for Iraqi archaeologists, conservationists, specialists. And what we're hoping to do is, with this emergency project, to help leverage that investment, which we've been making and our other partners, and Smithsonian first and foremost among them, to leverage the investment to empower Iraqi experts who are already associated, in many cases, with the Iraqi Institute to inventory, provide emergency preservation, store artifacts on site at Nimrud. And I guess the way I would describe in a nutshell how our involvement and engagement complements the Smithsonian's as far as this project goes, our cultural heritage experts like Andrew, an excellent example of this, I mean, we're working on these issues in the diplomatic dimension. We're negotiating agreements. We're encouraging better practices at the level of ministries and museums, working on these issues from sort of a policy standpoint. But having the hands-on, full-time engagement of Smithsonian experts, their unparalleled expertise in places like their Museum Conservation Institute, that's a key ingredient for having an impact on the ground in the face kind of urgent requirements that we're facing.
And Andrew, give us a sense of the extent of what is going on in that particular area, Nimrud. How do you know what is an artifact versus what is just an old rock?
Well, that's a great question. Nimrud is a really large archaeological site that has a wall that encloses 900 acres. And at the highest point of the site, there's four ancient palaces that are preserved. And they've been excavated to various degrees. The one that's the best, most well-known, has been excavated since the 19th century. And there are 9-foot-high alabaster wall reliefs that lined the passages and the rooms in this palace. And they show historical events, just like if you go into the rotunda at the National Archives building, there's frescoes and murals that show key elements of American history in this Assyrian palace that dates to, 850 BC. At Nimrud, you can see specific events in the history of the Assyrian Empire.
That's really old stuff. And when you went in there, when the teams went in there, after it was liberated from ISIS recently or earlier this year, what did you find? Had they done a lot of damage?
All the photos show that what ISIS recorded was the placement of barrel bombs throughout this one particular palace and the simultaneous demolition of those bombs. And then the relief fragments are strewn across the site. In other cases, they were piled up into just mounds of rubble. So the there's carved wall reliefs and inscriptions that are just sitting out in the open. And so there's a worry that these are exposed to the elements, or that they could be stolen or looted and trafficked.
And can such a thing be restored if it's been blown up by a bomb and piled up in pieces?
Sure, because this particular palace is so well known, reliefs were photographed in their original positions and careful drawings had been made in the past. So part of the exercise of restoring it is going to be archival, and part of it is going to be storing and sorting and figuring out what went where.
And who will do all that work? That will be done primarily by Iraqis?
Yes, by graduates of this Iraqi Institute of for the Conservation of Antiquities and Heritage. They mostly work for the government of Iraq now in the Ministry of Culture.
We're speaking with Mark Taplin. He's the Acting Assistant Secretary of State for Educational and Cultural Affairs, and Andrew Cohen, Senior Cultural Property Analyst at the State Department. Is that work underway, and how do you work with the Iraqis? What happens on the ground there between the State Department and Smithsonian and the Iraqi Institute?
The Smithsonian is going to undertake a number of missions to the Conservation Institute in Erbil, and they will work on plans with the Iraqis, and the Iraqis will be going out to the site to undertake the work. They'll stabilize the remains that are there. They'll work on housing the objects that have been blown up and strewn about, as well as salvaging any other objects that they might find.
And I suppose there's an element of restoring the general vicinity, too, so that these places, that these objects display as they were before ISIL came in and did what they did.
Sure. This was an archaeological park, and it's the kind of place that visitors would go to, and it was on Iraq's tentative list of World Heritage Sites. So they really wanted to turn this into a more impactful destination for tourists.
Is the restoration work that the Iraqis are doing with kind of cover and enablement from the United States, is this the type of project that Sunnis and Shia can work together on?
Well, we certainly hope so. That's been a big part of our emphasis at the Institute in Erbil. And, you know, I've heard more than one archaeologist and partner we've worked with make the comment that of the Iraqi Institute in Erbil has been, over the years, one of the places where people can really sort of, you know, let some of those sometimes tricky and frictional aspects of people's identity to sort of let their guard down on that. And we have people from all the communities in Iraq, specialists in these areas, working together on a very cooperative basis. We also think, you know, in the long run, one of the important reasons for us to be involved in helping the Iraqis address the damage that ISIS has done and to do more actually to protect cultural heritage is that we've seen time and time again, even with all these other requirements, humanitarian, social, economic requirements that Iraq is going to be facing in the post-ISIS period, that cultural heritage preservation, protection, it's also really a vital ingredient, and we've seen this in a lot of other places, in post-conflict reconciliation and the rebuilding of trust and promoting confidence. So we think this is a good investment as well in those broader terms. I think the Iraqi government looks at it that way as well, and most all of Iraq's international partners, I think, approach it from that perspective too.
Mark Taplin is the Acting Assistant Secretary of State for Educational and Cultural Affairs. Andrew Cohen is Senior Cultural Property Analyst. Thank you both so much.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure.
Find a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.